T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
So fired up that our GM is a former offensive lineman, because I think he gets it to the core what it takes to build an offensive line. And it's tough competition, smart guys who love football and like just want to compete. I can't think of a better scenario, even for me as a veteran, having so many young guys that they see different things or they're asking me questions. And I got to be even more on top of my game and what I know mentally. And I have to be right. All around, there's a ton of great things.
That's Lucas Patrick. Sounds like he's going to be a go-to for reporters talking about the Bears and the offensive line. And as a former reporter, I will tell you that when you think the team's probably going to be bad, you better find that guy that you know you can talk to after losses. Who's the stand-up guy who's going to be there and be able to answer honest questions with honest answers? For me, it was often Big Cat Williams was that dude, and maybe it's going to end up being Lucas Patrick on this team. We have been trying to get this guy on the air for a while now. Brandon Thorne, the author of the Trench Warfare newsletter, offensive and defensive line analyst for Establish the Run. You can find him on Twitter at Brandon Thorne NFL. You can hear him now on the Score Hotline, presented by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports. But Brandon, thanks for joining us. How are you?
I'm doing good. Thank you for having me.
I'm looking at this Bears offensive line depth chart, and I'm not feeling all that good about it. It's a lot of names, and we know a lot of these positions can move around. The fun of it is are the variables right now, because we have no idea who's going to play where or why they're going to play there or what the mix is going to be. Before we dig into some of the granular stuff, first blush, how good is this group of guys and what's the upside?
I typically rank every offensive line going into the year for Establishing the Run around July. So I haven't gotten to that point yet where I can really kind of rank them league-wide, but just, you know, just kind of looking at the depth chart as well and just kind of thinking of other teams and kind of what the top, you know, units look like and some of the bottom. They're definitely closer to the bottom, you know, that's for sure. That's not to say there isn't some, you know, upside here, some solid players. You know, I think that Lucas Patrick, Cody Whitehair, you know, are both pretty solid starters. You know, maybe some upside with Tevin Jenkins, at right tackle, if that's where he plays. And then other than those three positions, I think, right guard, left tackle, assuming Jenkins is at right, those two are pretty much, you know, I think up in the air. And then the depth behind those guys is very much up in the air. It's going to be interesting. With the new coaching staff, new regime, all that kind of stuff, you know, kind of starting from the ground floor, you know, could be worse, but definitely a lot more questions than answers, I think, that's for sure.
How much does handedness matter in the modern NFL? The strong side, right hand, still left guard needs to be more athletic than right guard, left tackle protector of the right-handed quarterback's blind side. Are all these things that we grew up with still true?
Not as much, I don't think. No, there is still some validity to some of that. I think it's more so relevant when you're talking about the individual player's comfort level. Typically, switching sides is a pretty tall task for a lot of guys. There is some guys that can do it easier than others. But, you know, for the most part, I would say it's a little bit easier generally to move, say, from left tackle to left guard as opposed to left tackle to right tackle, just because you're only kicking inside one position and you're using kind of the same sides of your body to, you know, initiate movement, plant, redirect, stuff like that. When you switch sides, all that kind of flips on its head. So, you know, it becomes a little bit of a challenge. You need time to kind of iron those things out. Some guys do it quicker than others. But, you know, I think generally, you know, you look at the contract situation in the NFL among offensive linemen, left tackle is still substantially higher paid than right tackle. And I think some of that, you know, blindside protecting of a right-handed quarterback still holds true. And then the right tackle typically needs to be a little bit bigger with a little bit better anchor to kind of keep rushers out of the quarterback's face if he's right-handed. So I think that's where it comes from, and still some of that is true. However, now pass rushers are almost equally split on both sides in terms of quality. So, you know, you guys know this, Khalil Mack rushed over the right tackle predominantly, you know, with Chicago, Oakland, and now, you know, in LA, he's going to probably do the same. He switches sides. Most rushers switch sides, but Joey Bosa, a lot of high quality rushers rush over the right tackle. So that's why it isn't quite as important as it used to be, where, you know, primarily the speed, high quality rusher was a right end rushing over the left tackle. Now it's both sides.
We were listening to some analysis of what the run game is expected to be. And the presumption was there's going to be outside zone. There's going to be, you know, the Alex Gibbs style sort of belly cutback stretch, stick your foot in the ground, one cut stuff. But we were warned off of that by somebody who said, not really. If you look at what Luke Getsy's offenses and the with which he's been associated have done, and he says maybe there are some duos scheming, but it's more of an at-you run game. How do you reconcile Poles' desire for thinner, more athletic, lighter offensive lines if it is going to be a straightforward at-you run game? How does that work together when we usually presumed that lighter, more athletic meant that outside belly move before hitting up there up the field?
Yeah, I mean, I think ideally you want a little bit of both. You know, there's very rarely do we see any scheme in the NFL that's, you know, heavily in one direction. I mean, sometimes a few years ago, you know, maybe with the Rams under McVay, but even them, they've kind of become a little bit more multiple. Kyle Shanahan's become more multiple. So teams generally, I think, want to be more multiple, you know, because you're more unpredictable. So, but, you know, just looking at a lot of Packer film over the years, watching, you know, like a guy like Elgton Jenkins, I've seen every snap of his career. And, you know, they're pretty multiple in Green Bay. I mean, it's zone-based. That's kind of the, you know, the bones of the scheme or the foundation, I would say. But you could get to a lot of other things. And there's different ways to run zone, too. I mean, you know, like, for instance, on the front side, you know, you could try to really hook and reach guys where you utilize more quickness. Or you could try to kind of widen guys and use kind of more of that leverage and power to kind of displace guys laterally. So there's different ways to kind of run outside, inside zone, wide zone, tight zone, however you want to label it. So yeah, there's just a lot of variance, but in terms of wanting to get more athletic and lighter, you know, it makes sense, because zone is going to kind of be the foundation. But you know, that gets, I think, a little bit overstated too, because even though you may get a little lighter, the whole entire NFL and all the NFL offensive lines are lighter and more athletic now than they were, you know, 10 years ago or whatever, even further than that. So, you know, it's maybe just, if anything, becoming a little bit more modern, and trying to, you know, kind of fit in with the rest of the league a little bit more, you know, generally speaking. And to me, it just makes sense. It's nothing too, you know, out of, you know, unexpected or anything like that. It's kind of standard.
One of the themes that we've been watching here with this entirely new regime here in year two of Justin Fields has been the extent to which they're going to work to make their young quarterback's life easier, to make things comfortable for him. And it's hard to tell from what they've said about how much that matters. And then we look at who they draft and where and what they prioritize and have their top two picks be these, you know, defensive players. It said something, the way they've spent their money. As we watch what they do in practice and how they configure the offensive line, what should we be seeing to begin to draw conclusions for how they may be tailoring it or not to Justin Fields?
I mean, generally, you look across the league with young quarterbacks and how they make them comfortable. You know, the run game obviously being effective when needed. It doesn't need to be built on the run game necessarily, but you want a potent, efficient run game, you know, that you can kind of work play action off of, even though you don't necessarily need a run game for play action to be effective. I think over time, you know, it just helps. To kind of keep linebackers and, you know, the middle of the defense honest to kind of respect the, you know, the play action fake. So, you know, kind of an efficient run game. I think play action usage is important, just to kind of create that hesitation in defenses for a second. That's helpful. That's more effective under center as well, as opposed to shotgun, although it kind of works in shotgun a little bit as well. But under center, you know, play action pass is very effective, I think, still. And you see that, you know, with kind of a lot of different systems here and there. But I think, you know, primarily the NFL's in gun now. But you could still do, you know, play action or RPO, you know, which is a little bit different. You know, so RPO, play action, both kind of create that split second hesitation in defenses and kind of can open up windows, manipulate the defense, create easier looks for the quarterback. So I would imagine that's going to be a pretty significant part of the offense. Green Bay incorporated a lot of that. So RPO play action for sure. And, you know, if you play sound, you know, effective defense, that's going to help, you know, the other side of the ball and vice versa, you know. So, you know, if you're able to do that, of course, that helps, you know, quarterback helps an offense, you know, just like a good offense helps the defense. So, you know, the fact that they didn't invest in receiver like everyone thought that they, you know, would have or should have, you know, is a little surprising. But, that to me is going to make it interesting for how they approach this scheme-wise, because I think they're going to have to overcome some of the lack of personnel in weapons with scheme. And that's going to be on the offensive coordinator. And, it would be really interesting to see how that plays out.
Last question for you, Brandon. I hate to use the metaphor of stock investment in our current environment, but if you were buying stock in either, it had to be one of the two, in either Larry Borum or Tevin Jenkins, who would it be and why?
I'd buy stock in Tevin Jenkins. Just because of coming out, he was a better player in college. You know, last year is kind of hard to judge them against each other, apples to apples, you know, just because of kind of the context around, you know, Borum being able to, you know, come in, practice, prepare for the season, play, and then, you know, play throughout the year. You know, whereas Jenkins, you know, had the back surgery, came back late, you know, didn't look quite like himself, maybe wasn't in, you know, obviously wasn't in as good of a shape, you know, as he could have been, you know, having a full offseason, things like that. So, but I did full evaluations on them coming out of college, you know, Oklahoma State, Missouri for each of those guys. And I mean, I was very high on Tevin Jenkins coming out. And that was predominantly because of his size, his power, and his competitive toughness, you know, just being a physical kind of rugged presence. I didn't see him being necessarily an ideal fit for a zone heavy scheme, but if it is more multiple, I think that will, you know, lend itself well to his skill set. But yeah, man, I mean, I think his power, and, you know, coupled with his size and kind of his demeanor, that all to me, kind of, you know, is something that he kind of hang his hat on, you know, and utilize as kind of a nice, you know, framework for development while he kind of cleans up his hands and the timing of his hands and his footwork and things like that, which I think, you know, just still, you know, continue to need work. But he just has more to offer physically than a guy like Borum. To me, I think Borum's more limited in what he can do. I saw Borum as kind of more of a backup interior kind of guy, you know, so that's how I saw them coming out. And based on what I saw of, you know, Borum last year and the little of Jenkins, I mean, not much has changed, honestly. So, Yeah, I'd definitely buy stock in Jenkins still. And, you know, I just think his ceiling is higher. You know, Borum's ceiling is just more capped. And, yeah, so that's why I would go with Jenkins.
That is a very thorough and appreciated answer. Brandon Thorne, thanks much for your time. I'm glad we finally tracked you down. I hope we can talk again sometime.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me.
That's Brandon Thorne, the author of the Trench Warfare newsletter, offensive line and defensive line analyst for Establish the Run, and he does offensive line draft scouting for Bleacher Report.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.